Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
Welcome, everybody. Glad that you're here. Welcome those of you watching at home or wherever you happen to be. Maybe some of you are still on the road. We're glad that you're with us. 2025, can you believe that? You know, when we talked about rock and roll last month, and there was a, you know, the 60s was a really weird time where everybody was talking about the end of the world and all this stuff. And there was a song in the year 2525. And it was like 2025, 21, 25, that, all these things. And it just sounded like, oh yeah, you know, like eternity. When you say eternity, you know, here we are, 2025. It's crazy. That is amazing. We begin a new theme this month. What's been on my heart is this. These who have turned the world upside down. It's out of Acts chapter 17 where we're going to begin in verse 4. And some of the people were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathering a mob. Well, it almost sounds like today. Gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason. Sorry, Jason, I don't know where you are, but anyway, Jason. And sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too." When world changers and difference makers show up on the scene, it can be felt, it can be known in the spirit. I want to weave in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 from the Message. Paul writes, "Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses? Chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies? That makes it quite clear that none of you can get by with blowing your own horn before God." Let's pray one more time. God, would you open the eyes of our heart today? Let your word come forth in power and in strength. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, usually we finish up the final Sunday night in prayer with, you know, a special time of anointing people with oil and that kind of thing. I really felt like we want to start tonight. Next week we'll probably pray, or this sometime during the week, for a fresh anointing, a fresh power, a fresh touch on your life. But tonight we specifically want to pray for the sick or those that are in pain. And we want to anoint you with oil according to James chapter 5. We want to pray the prayer of faith with you. We want to start the year off healthy, right? We want to start the year off with miracles and breakthrough. So tonight, by the end of tonight, we're going to be praying for people. If you know people that are going through something and they're open, pardon me, and they're open to, you know, just to trust God and see what God might do, tonight would be a good night for them to come and start prayer with us and just see, as we say right here, see what God does, okay? God has raised up many world changers throughout human history. Some have become super famous, like John Wesley or Mother Teresa or Billy Graham. However, many more than that, others that were used mightily by God stayed almost completely under the radar. Known only in certain circles, they made major impacts in plundering hell and populating heaven. One of my personal heroes was an Englishman from the 1800s and early 1900s named Smith Wigglesworth. He was born in 1859 in Yorkshire, England, raised in poverty, born again at the age of 8, but didn't learn to read. He was illiterate until he married his wife Polly at the age of 23. This guy, in a time when the life expectancy for a man born in 1859 would have been 39. The average life expectancy, with 30, put that in perspective, the average life expectancy, 1859, was about 39 years of age for a man to live. Smith Wigglesworth lived until 1947 after World War II and lived to be 87 years old in a time when he more than doubled the time frame of the average life expectancy. He was quite a man of God. He was He became a plumber. That was his trade because he couldn't read. And then Polly began to teach him at the age of 23. But he learned reading the Bible. And so his wife was a mighty preacher in the Salvation Army movement and began teaching Smith to read in the early part of their marriage. He began to devour the Bible and refused to read anything else. He wouldn't even allow a newspaper to be in his house. He was that adamant about, he said, I want only the truth in my house. He said, those newspapers are full of lies. That's a long time ago. They're full of something else now. I can't even say it in church. But anyway, as the Holy Spirit began sweeping through Wales in the Welsh revival in the early 1900s, and Los Angeles, Azusa Street, and Oslo, Norway, 1904 to 1907, Wigglesworth was prayed for by a man named T.B. Barrett and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the age of 48. All he had done in ministry up to that point is, and I say only, but I mean he had led a children's ministry. He did like a neighborhood Sunday school, and he did things in his church. He did things in the community. He was a faithful man, but he was an illiterate plumber. And now all of a sudden, age of 48, he received the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. At the age of 48, became known for this dynamic prayer life, that what he would pray would shake heaven and earth. Only then did his ministry of signs and wonders and miracles begin. At the age of 48, imagine, he would often share how unqualified he felt to be used by God in this way. He would go on and on about it, giving all the glory to God. I have a quote for you. He said, quote, I want you to see that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself or builds himself up. We must be edified before we can edify the church. I cannot estimate what I personally owe to the Holy Ghost method of spiritual edification. I'm here before you as one of the biggest conundrums in the world. There was never a weaker man on a platform. Language, none. Inability, full of it. All natural things in my life point exactly opposite to my being able to stand on the platform and preach the gospel. The secret is that the Holy Ghost came and brought this wonderful edification of the Spirit. I had been reading this word continually as well as I could, but the Holy Ghost came and took hold of it. For the Holy Ghost is the breath of it, and he illuminated it to me. Multitudes of testimonials poured in from first in England and then around the world as he traveled on great ships and ocean liners. All of his life had a nearly 40-year ministry, but didn't begin till age of 48. These testimonies poured in, documenting wonders and miracles, especially prominent healings from cancer. He was known as a man who had an anointing to bring healing from cancer, which he saw cancer as, quote, living evil spirits. Thank you for your response today, by the way. You're really alive this first day. Did you freeze? I mean, I know it's cold in Ocala, but are you awake today? This is better stuff than this is good stuff. You need to respond to it. You need to pull on it. He insisted that many diseases are satanic in origin. Not all, but many diseases, he said, are satanic in origin. These testimonies poured in, but he began to become controversial because of his unorthodox methods of dealing with some diseases, especially cancer. Sometimes slapping, hitting, or punching people at the point of affliction. Imagine today. You'd have Morgan and Morgan following them to every crusade. Dr. Lester Sumrall was one of our mentors we were privileged to have with us. The early days of Now Church, he was with us three times. He dedicated this building, 1996, about 11 weeks before he passed away at the age of 83. He was deeply impacted by Smith Wigglesworth's ministry, and I wanted you to hear something in Brother Sumrall's words about this time when he first saw Smith Wigglesworth. So go ahead and roll that if you would, please.
They brought the people from hospitals and wheelchairs and all kinds of situations for Smith Wigglesworth to pray for them. And from one of the local hospitals, the doctor brought a very severe cancer case. They didn't want to bring him because he was so near death. The doctor accompanied him and sat by his little portable hospital bed on the platform. And here came Smith Wigglesworth, who was just a little bit gruff, down the line praying for the people. And the way he would ask you what was wrong with you, he'd say, "Hoots hoop." Now, in his part of England, that was a similar way to their speaking. "Hoots hoop" means what ailed you, or what is wrong with you. And so he got to this patient that was laying out on a bed there and had on one of the little hospital gowns, you know, that has no buttons and buttons up in the back. There was a doctor sitting there with his stethoscopes in his ears and listening to the man's heartbeat and letting everybody know that the man was very near death. And so when Smith Wigglesworth and said, "What's up?" the doctor replied and said, "He is dying of cancer." Wigglesworth said, "Where is it?" And the doctor said, "In his stomach." And Smith Wigglesworth, possibly the most unusual person that I've ever met in my life, he wound up his hand and hit him where the cancer was in the stomach. Punched him so hard until the man died. Just his hands fell off the bed, and the doctor screamed, "He's dead, he's dead." And he looked up and said, "You killed him, you killed him. The family will sue you, you killed him." Smith Wigglesworth wasn't upset one bit. He said, "He's healed." And that's the way he would say, "You are healed." He says, "He's healed." He didn't pronounce H's. He said, "He's healed." And he didn't stop, you know. He just went on down the line praying. About 10 minutes later down the line, here came the man walking. He'd gotten up off that bed. He had moved the doctor to one side. And he was walking in that funny little hospital dress, you know, that comes along here like this and is open in the back. And here he was following Smith Wigglesworth with his hands in his up in the air, praising God. He said, "I have no pain. I feel wonderful inside. I have energy that I had not had for I don't know how long." And he was following him. And Smith Wigglesworth is so unusual. He didn't turn around and say, "Well, thank God. Oh, praise God. Everybody look at it." To him, it was such a usual thing. He said, "Well, just thank God for it." And he just went on praying for people.
Yeah, that was powerful. So we will be punching people tonight. No. If it worked for him, it'll work. No. I have seen, by the way, I've seen people operate in that anointing many years ago. And it's really unusual, but it's if God says do it, you got to do it. But I've never done that myself, but I don't plan on it. Wigglesworth, because of his unusual practices, he was even arrested couple times around the world for practicing medicine without a license because they were so nervous about when he'd come into town. He once stated this, quote, "You might think by the way I went about praying for the sick that I was sometimes unloving and rough. But oh, friends, you have no idea what I see behind the sickness and the one who is afflicted. I'm not dealing with the person. I'm dealing with the satanic forces that are binding the afflicted." In speaking about the contentions that were often stirred up in the towns or venues where he would preach the gospel and pray for the sick, one person said this, "When they were done and leaving, some people were sad, some people were mad, and some people were glad, but nobody was left without an opinion." I love that. And I want to look up that portion of this story because that's what I see. That God is going to begin doing some things through the body of Christ, through ordinary, regular, everyday people in great places. And he's going to do some unusual things in this coming season. I believe we're living in a season of the body ministry of the church and not just the famous preachers of the church. I think we're going to see some things, but true impact is some are going to be sad and some are going to be glad and some are going to be mad. But nobody's going to be left without an opinion. That's when you make a wave. That's when you know you've accomplished something. It's not great, but you can't please everybody. You can't possibly please everybody. But if you'll focus this year on pleasing God, you'll make an impact too. Amen. 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 This month we're talking about turning the world around and making a difference. Turning the world around and making a difference. The truth is that since the fall of mankind into sin in the Garden of Eden, the world has already been upside down. When they said the world, that these men who have who showed up here, who turned the world upside down, they weren't turning it upside down, they were turning it right side up. It's been topsy-turvy since Adam and Eve. That's why Jesus surrendered his life in the Garden of Gethsemane, stressed to the point of sweating great drops of blood. What was broken in a garden had to be repaired in a garden. Are you seeing it? Remember last week I talked about full circle moments? Full circle moments. God is a full circle God. Jesus took your stress, my friend. He took these. We have a generation now that all they want, the buzzword is anxiety. I'm having anxiety. And I'm not downplaying. I'm not saying you're not having anxiety. But I'm saying that by his stripes, he took your anxiety. By the fact that he was so stressed that he sweat out of his forehead great drops of blood. His forehead, his pores began to bleed. There is a medical condition, I can't even say the name of it, but it's a medical condition where you can get so stressed that you begin to bleed through your pores. That's how stressed Jesus was. And everything he paid the price for, you don't have to go through today. It's illegal. It's illegal for the enemy to put on you something that Jesus already paid for. I'm not saying he won't try, but I'm saying you have to take the word, you have to speak the word, you have to enforce the victory of Jesus. He gave you everything else. He gave you the victory. But understand, in that nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done moment, he was correcting what Adam and Eve had already messed up. Where they said, okay, well, you said it's not your will for us to eat the fruit, but hey, I'm hungry. Understand, God loves to connect the dots. Think about it. The Bible starts with a wedding, Adam and Eve, and finishes with a wedding, Jesus and his church, his bride. I just finished, you know, reading through the Bible again for the maybe the fourth or fifth year in a row. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, Lord Jesus. It starts with a wedding, it finishes with a wedding. God is a full circle God. Think about the children of Israel going through the water of the Red Sea on their journey from Egypt, a type of the world system, to the promised land. And in the new covenant, believers being baptized in water, having to go on their own journey through the water, on the journey of faith from the world to their promised land. Ironically, in my devotions this morning, as I began again to read through the Bible, I'm doing the Nikki and Pippa Gumbel devotion again, 1 year Bible. And my devotion, part of that was on the scattering of language. I already had it in my notes. God was already speaking to me on the scattering of language at the Tower of Babel, as people babbled on in Babylon. God restored heavenly language at Pentecost. He took what caused, what was the moment of division in Genesis chapter 11, and then he turned it to unity in Acts chapter 2. God is a full circle God. You got to love the word, and you got to let the Bible interpret the Bible. As I said last week, the Lord delights in bringing things full circle. And I believe that God is raising up ordinary people and churches in this hour to do extraordinary things. Like Wigglesworth, we need to birth our destinies through Spirit-led prayer. He said, without a doubt, my turning point was when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I had this ability to edify. The Bible says he speaks in a tongue, edifies himself. Beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, Jude says. Understand that there are ways and methods God's given us to pray. And he is calling us to a season of prayer. A season of prayer is always part of the journey of somebody who wants to make a difference. There are sacrifices, but you always get more back than you give. Let's press into Jesus in 2025. What if I promised you that if you'll lean into him, you could get closer to him? Closer than you've ever been. Closer to his heart. Intimacy in relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. Listen, this is an old saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Quit telling God what you're not qualified for. Quit saying, I can't do this, when Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If he calls me to do it, he'll strengthen me to accomplish it. Right? God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. I almost said the cold, but no. I read a funny story recently about late Pastor Jamie Buckingham. Most of you probably don't know who that is, but he was the editor of Charisma Magazine many years ago, a pastor from Melbourne, Florida, and an author whose books sold millions of copies around the world. I think he wrote one on Catherine Kuhlman that was still a bestseller. He had a reputation in his congregation for making comical blunders while he was ministering. People wondered how God can use this absent-minded guy. In one solemn service where he was piously leading his people to the point of silence to pray, he bowed and heard laughter rippling across his congregation. It suddenly dawned on him as his mind replayed what he had just said. Please bow your eyes and close your heads. Most laughable of all of his faux pas and stories was this, because it has come close to happening to many pastors, I'm told, is the time that he baptized a very large woman on Easter morning in the baptistry in the church. When he would baptize people, he would apparently wear fishing gear, fishing waders, like the boots that go all the way up to your waist. But the woman displaced more water than he had anticipated in the going down under the water. As she came up, the overflow of the water rushed into his waders and filled them to the brim. When the woman came up, the water went down, leaving him stranded in the middle of the baptistry with 400 pounds of water in his boots. He was rooted to the bottom of the baptistry and couldn't budge. Before an entire Easter congregation overflowing, he had to lower his suspenders and crawl out of his boots in his underwear. True story. We had the privilege of being around one of the great men of God, used mightily of God in the charismatic renewal, a pastor named Harold Bredesen. Some of you have heard my stories on Brother Harold. Harold Bredesen, he came preach for us when we were in the old building down the road back in the early 90s. And he was like a spirit-filled Elmer Fudd. He just kind of, you know Elmer Fudd from Bugs Bunny? He would kind of stammer and stutter and kind of walk through life. And the first time I met him, I was working with Pastor Benny Hinn in Orlando. I was the youth pastor, but I had to do many, many different responsibilities. And Pastor Benny called me one day and said, would you please, I need you to pick up Harold Bredesen from the airport. I didn't know who he was. I said, sure, I'll pick him up. So I go to the airport, Orlando airport, to pick him up. We're waiting for the carousel. And he said, what's your name, son? What's your name? I said, Richard. He goes, Richard, do you like to pray? Do you like to pray? I said, yes, sir, I love to pray. He goes, good. He grabbed, put his arm around my shoulder and starts praying in loud tongues walking around the airport where we're waiting. He's going, so I just kind of joined him. So I realized people are staring at us, and so I just pretended I was speaking another language. Because he was going for it. And then by the time I was supposed to take him to Pastor Benny's house in Heathrow, and we had to go through a guard gate. This is 87 or something. And we go through this guard gate, and Harold Bredesen fell asleep on the way to Pastor Benny's house. And so I'm pulling through the guard gate. I'm here just dropping off somebody for Benny Hinn. And he was checking the name. And Harold woke up. Brother Harold woke up and goes, praise the Lord, like this, and it scared the guard. He goes, I need to call on this guy. I can't let you take him in there. And then the next morning, Pastor Benny had Harold was going to go preach for a friend over in Merritt Island. And when he got to church, Pastor Benny said, Richard, you watch Harold. And I go, okay, no problem. He goes, you're in charge of Harold till the pastor comes to pick him up. I literally turned around and he was gone. This is absolutely true story. And I was frantic and I almost got fired. Pastor Benny was upset. I told you to watch him. He disappears. It's okay. I finally found him outside. He couldn't find the restroom, so he's peeing behind a tree. This is a mighty man of God. Let me tell you how he was used. If you ever see a movie about the Camp David Peace Accords, that, you know, we just lost President Carter. President Carter, one of the great things he did was try to bring peace between Israel, and he brought peace between Israel and Egypt. That was a very strategic thing God used him for. In the Camp David Peace Accords, it's called, there's movies about it. Harold Bredesen was the chaplain for the Camp David Peace Accords and became personal friends with Menachem Begin and Anwar Sadat, the leaders of Israel and Egypt. And yet he couldn't find his way around a corner. But God had him in strategic places. He led many of the people that led 700 Club. He led them to the Lord and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Dinuta Soderman, Ben Kinchlow, many people like that. Some of you guys might know from the back in the day. He was used mightily in the life of Pat and Shirley Boone. Some of you know Pat Boone. Anybody remember? Does anybody remember old enough to know Pat Boone? I mean, Pat Boone, come on. He was an iconic. I thought of Pat Boone with Pastor Chris and Pastor Lindsay because they're both wearing white shoes, and that was Pat Boone was wearing white shoes. Anyway, but this guy was used mightily all over the world. The time that he came to preach for us, he was staying with somebody in Gainesville that brought him down, and we had a little tiny space in our office, and Harold Bredesen said to our people, he said to our team, he said, what time does praise and worship start? So we told him. He said, what time does it end? Oh, we go about 20, 30 minutes. Okay. He said, I'm going to take a little rest. Come get me. So he went to sleep in this wicker chair. It was a love seat. So it wasn't even big enough for somebody. And he curled up like in the fetal position. He was, by this time he's in his 80s. And we were like, what are we going to do with this guy? And yet that day, was it Brian Piccolo or some of the people that were with us in the early part of the 90s got saved that day. He led many people to the Lord, and everybody that wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit that day got spirit filled that day. He had a gift to just do it, to keep it simple. He was like, it was like childlike faith. I want you to remember that God uses imperfect people all the time. If you feel underqualified or disqualified from being used by the Lord to make a difference in the world around you, just remember, God uses imperfect people all the time, except for Jesus. It's all he's got to work with. Moses had a temper problem. David had a lust problem. Peter just had problems. Open his mouth and put his foot in it many, many times. I can relate to Peter. Let's make a difference this year. Let's focus on what God wants to do. Yes, amen. In my files, I keep funny things from time to time. I bring them out. And I wanted to read you some as I close today. It's really simple. But this was a satirical letter that I found years ago. And I just think it's great. This is a satirical letter, supposedly to Jesus, son of Joseph, woodcrafter's carpenter shop, Nazareth, and some crazy zip code. From the Jordan Management Consultants. Dear sir, thank you for submitting the resumes of the 12 men you've picked for managerial positions in your organization. All of them have now taken our battery of tests, and we have not only run the results through our computer, but also arranged personal interviews for each of them with our psychologist and vocational aptitude consultant. The profiles of all the tests are included, and you'll want to study each of them carefully. As part of our service, we make some general comments for your guidance, much as an auditor will include some general statements. This is given as a result of staff consultation, comes without any additional fee. It is the staff opinion that most of your nominees for apostleship are lacking in background, education, and vocational aptitude for the type of enterprise you're undertaking. They do not have the team concept. We would recommend that you continue your search for persons of experience and managerial ability and proven capability. One particular man, Simon Peter, seems emotionally unstable and is given to fits of temper. Andrew has absolutely no qualities of leadership at all. The two brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, seem to place personal interest above company loyalty. Thomas demonstrates a questioning attitude that would tend to undermine morale. We feel it's our duty to tell you that Matthew has been blacklisted by the Greater Jerusalem Better Business Bureau, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus definitely have radical leanings, and they both registered a high score on the manic depressive scale. Only one of the candidates, however, shows great potential. He's a man of ability and resourcefulness, meets people well, has a keen business mind, has contacts in high places. He's highly motivated, ambitious, and responsible. Therefore, we recommend Judas Iscariot as your controller and right-hand man. All the other profiles are self-explanatory. We wish you every success in your new venture. My friends, we can get it all backwards sometimes. And we so can argue with God about what we can do, what we can't do. There are gifts and talents and abilities inside of each of you. Part of the reason why Pastor Chris and I came out of retirement to play Jesus Freak a few weeks ago is because we want to set an example for you. I hadn't played the bass and really had my own bass for 46 years. I played from the age of 13 to the age of 16. My wife had never seen me play the bass on stage. And we met when we were 17. But if we can do that, what's your excuse? There's stuff going on that you have abilities and hidden talents, but you keep arguing in your mind, I'm too old. Wigglesworth didn't get started with his ministry until he's 48. Don't tell me you're too old to start something new. You're not too old to dream. Bible says your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. We need some of you older people to start dreaming again. Get some stuff into this house. We need everybody participating. We need everybody depositing, everybody serving, everybody encouraging. Use what you have. Stir up the gift of God. If God can do great things through those 12, we're really 11. The only highly qualified was the one that had a heart of deception and betrayal. My friends, impactful lives come from surrendered hearts. That's the bottom line. The greatest ability is availability. Not skill. Availability. Will you make yourself simply available in 2025? Let's pray. Would you bow your eyes and close your heads? Father, we give you glory and honor and praise. Everything we have in our lives that's good is because of you. Lord, we ask you to help us. Lord, as the father of the little boy that had epilepsy was brought to you in the word, and you said, don't be afraid, just believe. And that man said, I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief too. I believe, but help my unbelief too. Lord, in every area, let our confidence not be in ourselves this year, but let our confidence be in your presence, your power. Holy Spirit, come. Take these yielded vessels. Let our lives be an altar of sacrifice. We promise you the praise. Just keep your head bowed just for a moment. Just let the Holy Spirit wash over you. I love what Pastor Lindsay said earlier. Sometimes how you start really does affect how something goes. Some of those Olympic runners we saw in the Olympics a few months ago, if they didn't get off the starting block right, they couldn't possibly get over those hurdles or win the race. This is a year of great victory. Not saying there won't be challenges. There are challenges to every year. But the promise of God is, I will be with you. I will be with you. If you're here today, or you're watching online, and you don't know Jesus, and I mean know him in a real way, in a personal way, an intimate way. If all you know is about him, if all you know is you've read the Bible but you didn't understand it, if you don't know Jesus, Jesus is the living Word. He is the Word made flesh and moved into our neighborhood. My prayer is you begin surrender to him and experience him for yourself right now. And Lord, I pray that every person would come to know you. And everyone that comes to know you would welcome more of you, and that you'd make a difference through them. Lord, remove all the arguments, all the mental gymnastics, and help us to be surrendered to you. In Jesus' name. You know what? Just everybody pray this with me right now. Just say, Jesus, I want to know you in a real way, in a personal way, for myself. Show me who you are. Help me to understand you in your word. Fill me today. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit. I need everything you have. I want everything you have. Give me that desire. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now that's a great way to start the year. Would you give God a hand clap right now? Lord, we praise you. Praise you, Lord. We give you glory and honor. You're mighty, mighty, mighty God. If you prayed that for the first time, and you'd like us to help you, we just want to help you grow. We have something, a new tool. It's called Decide Now. Just would you text Decide Now from your text. You just put 94, they change the number every week, I guess. 94000. 94000, put that in the top there. Send the word Decide Now, all one word. Doesn't mean caps and, you know, small letters, whatever. Just Decide Now, and we'll send you a little video that'll just help you get started. That's what we want to do and help you. We want to help you to grow. We help you to connect, help you move forward in God. Amen? You receive that today? If God can do something great with Smith Wigglesworth, and I mean great things, he can do great things through you too, right?
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you,